This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3050 for Friday the 10th of April 2020. Today's show is entitled Linux In-Laws Season 1 Episode 4 What's in a Name? And is part of the series Linux In-Laws. It is hosted by Monochromec and is about 73 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Season 1, Episode 4. The episode where the legacy is revealed.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
This is Linux In-Laws, a podcast on topics around free and open source software, any associated contraband, communism, the revolution in general, and whatever else fancies your tickle. Please note that this and other episodes may contain strong language, offensive humor, and other, certainly not politically correct language. You have been warned. Our parents insist on this disclaimer. Happy Mom! Thus, the content is not suitable for consumption in the workplace, especially when played back on a speaker in an open plan office or similar environments. Any minors under the age of 35 or any pets, including fluffy little killer bunnies, your trusty guide dog, unless on speed, and cute T-Rexes or other associated dinosaurs.
Welcome to Linux In-Laws, Season 1, Episode, Martin, what is it, 4?
4.
How are you, Martin?
Sehr gut, danke schön. Yes. Yes, good, thank you. I am non-infected and well, as are all my relatives.
Drink
and hope everybody else is
Carlsberg all the way, yes. How are the Heineken Carlsberg supplies?
They're non-existent because I don't really like either
Corona, okay. Oh, I just said the word, I think. Anyway, okay, yes. Martin, what do we have in store for the next 3 hours while we do an extra long episode on not Corona, but rather Heineken and Carlsberg?
Okay, on this episode, we are going to discuss the legacy and the reason behind the name of this podcast.
The legacy, Martin, what's that?
You did go to school, didn't you? No?
What school?
Well, you tell me. I wasn't present in your school days, and wasn't living in Germany, so I don't know.
That's okay. What school?
Oh, what is school? I thought you asked me what school you went to. I have no idea what school you went to, obviously.
What is school?
Although it is debatable whether you went to school at all, of course. But
True.
Then many things are debatable. So, sorry, where were we?
No, Martin, it may come as a surprise to you, but I did do a PhD, so
I must have gone to school at some stage. So you're not a doctor of medicine?
No, funny enough, I'm not.
But what about all these drugs that you keep pushing?
I can't really talk about this. This is a podcast. I mean, we're explicit, but we're not that explicit.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I won't mention it again.
Okay, fine. Let's start with the news,
the
Martin.
The news.
Apart from this Corona thing that everybody keeps talking about, I don't get it, but because, yeah, it's just another beer brand, right? I mean, what's the deal with Heineken, Carlsberg, Beck's? Or the lovely Ratzern Belgian White Ale that I'm drinking at the moment? If you're listening, Ratzern, we still have sponsor spots open.
What's the name of this beer?
So, Ratzern Belgian White Ale.
Very Belgian.
No, it's Gem. They just oh, ripped it off, I think. Okay. I don't know.
Belgian beer made in Germany.
So, yeah. So if you're listening, you brought some people, just get in touch. If you are wondering how to promote one of the up-and-coming podcasts in the free and open source software world.
Does that mean I can't mention that German Belgian beer isn't really any good or Belgium?
Mention Martin, you can mention whatever you want because we are explicit.
Oh yes, and they're unlikely to sponsor us anyway.
In case you keep forgetting. Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. So yes.
Okay, coming back
to the lovely
sorry,
beer.
Go ahead, Martin.
Go ahead. The news did it.
The news, yes, Martin. What do we have? Yes, I came across something very peculiar. Apparently, Mozilla, in their infinite wisdom, has decided to, in a future version of our beloved Firefox browser, has decided to make away or to do away with HTTP traffic. So, meaning that, and this is an option, it's not mandatory, apparently, in a future release. So, you have the option of going for HTTPS only.
Okay.
So if you run a website that that uses HTTP, that's going to be tricky with that setting.
Does anybody still do this? Or?
Yes. Okay. All the people who don't have a certificate installed, like Let's Encrypt or something like this.
Well, what's your view on this, Martin? Certificates are fun, aren't they? And yeah, Let's Encrypt is useful, but most commercial companies don't use that, right?
Well, it depends, right? I mean, if you have the doubt to spend it on a real, in the inverted commas, certificate, which sometimes tend to cost quite a lot of moolah, you might as well, you don't need Let's Encrypt, but Let's Encrypt has the benefit of really being free of charge, provided that you can meet the free requirements, for example, write access to your web space.
So,
what are you running on your server then?
Many things, but you mean Let's Encrypt, don't you, for the certificate?
I use Let's Encrypt for Let's Encrypt for Linux Inlogs. Yes, we do.
For Linux Inlogs, for Riot, for Mumble, which we no longer use. So that's another story altogether, and which will take many, many hours. not to mention the power supplies on MacBooks. But
no.
Material for a future episode, yes. Going back to the HTTPS topic, why do we need this, in your opinion? Well, why have they gone to this measure to restrict HTTPS?
Well, you see, I reckon it's an evil scheme to force actually people to encrypt their traffic. But I mean, if you're
are they in the certificate business by any chance?
No, I'm not, funny enough.
No, I mean, Mozilla.
No, I just do. Sorry, not that I know of. But maybe people know more than maybe our listeners know more than I do. So, dear listeners, if you have input there, feel free to get in touch at feedback@linuxinlaws.eu. Not as far as I know, no. They just use certificate authorities needs to say to do the handshake, or rather to check the validity of websites. As far as I don't know, they are not in the certificate business themselves.
Okay, so.
But I mean, one important consequence of this is, of course, if you're running a HTTP only website, and if people finally choose to adopt this measure, you'll be forced, I wouldn't say out of business, but nobody will be able to look at your website.
Yes, and so if you're a friendly news website, you need to encrypt your traffic now to display your news or make your users being able to view this news. And not to even mention the added overhead of encryption and the associated carbon footprint this creates. It seems like a bit of a overkill, in my opinion.
But I mean, yeah, you can shovel this off to the GPU or something.
The NVIDIA GPU or the
for our listener base. Fun fact, Mr. Visser has just bought a laptop with an NVIDIA GPU built into this. Into it. Quote, it's something that everybody does.
Well, I'm sure you're of an age that you remember VHS and Betamax, right?
I think we are about, what, 2 months apart when it comes down to age, right, Martin?
Are you sure about this?
Or was it three? I keep forgetting.
Anyway. Yeah, so what I found out is that NVIDIA is just the standard, right? Everybody builds them with NVIDIA, so therefore you'd be a fool to go with something else.
You looked at the link that I sent to you about a certain Mr. Torvalds making a very rude gesture at one of the big conferences about this NVIDIA support, right?
Yes, but then what does he know?
I think Linus Torvalds is one of these...
Who is this guy anyway?
...maintainers. Yeah, he maintains a code base for something called Linux. I don't know if that rings a bell.
Ah.
There are a couple of podcasts named after Linux.
Oh, yes.
Linux
of course,
In-Laws would be one of them.
Yes. Linux In-Laws.
In case yes. You forgot.
Is this like a segue into Linux Outlaws? Well done, that man.
almost... Okay, let's spend two more minutes on Blu-ray being the fact that Mr. Wizard bought an NVIDIA-based laptop. Martin, shame on you.
I'm very pleased with it so far. But then I haven't tried to install Linux on it yet, so I may take this back in a future episode.
Yeah, you will be in for a rough ride depending on what video driver do you want to use. Have you decided on a desktop yet for that machine?
No. Any hints here that you would like to share?
It depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for GNOME, if you're looking for KDE, the reason why I'm asking this question is quite straightforward, actually. There are two factions at the moment. One is called X11, that would be the old guys, and the new kids on the block would use a compositor like Wayland.
Well, given my age and experience, then X11 would be the way to go, right? It's something we are most familiar with.
Yeah, regardless of this, you may be in for a rough ride when it comes down to driver support as such.
Okay, well, all will be revealed. And I have a handy tech support person on call, so...
And who would that be?
Well, there's this nutter in Germany, and he's to specialize in all things operating system and open source related.
Mr. Visser,
not naming any names.
Yeah, Mr. Visser, dear audience, made one fatal mistake. The fact to his tech support. Yes, he disclosed the fact to his tech support, namely me, that he actually bought an NVIDIA-based machine. So. All bets are off when it comes down to support, service level agreements, operating level agreements, and all the rest of this crap, because I do not support NVIDIA machines.
Ah,
funny enough.
Okay.
So just take a look at your terms and conditions, Martin, and send the machine back today.
I see.
No, seriously, just do.
Well, I think you should know me by now that. Your advice is appreciated, but also a challenge to prove you wrong in most cases. Which has worked.
If you can prove me wrong, of course I stand to be corrected, but don't send me mails or reach out to me on Riot asking for, that machine doesn't work, I can't get a picture on the screen, what's happening, I just see static. Martin, sorry, you choose NVIDIA. Tough luck.
I see. Let's not mention the operation, shall we? Okay.
Okay, dear listeners. Yes,
we digress.
If somebody has experience with NVIDIA and wants to help, now's your chance.
I'm sure it'll be a topic of a future podcast as well.
Oh, absolutely. Season 1, episode 6, maybe 7, is dedicated to NVIDIA graphic support on Linux distributions running on laptops with NVIDIA GPU cores. That would be a special episode for about 3 hours, I think, because we at least need these 3 hours to discuss that topic at length. Also,
we need another three hours to discuss all the audio fun we have had.
True. Yes. But a good portion of these 3 hours, I reckon, would be spent on the discussion on how you keep your sanity while struggling with proprietary video drivers, reverse engineered crap, video drivers and proprietary crap, that in that order. And the fun stuff and the time that Martin spent on this during the next 6 months getting this thing to work. Maybe.
Martin,
I sent you a link about the Arch Wiki, right? And the second paragraph or third paragraph already talked about a custom kernel. You remember, right?
You send me many links. Which
Martin,
not all of these are for public consumption.
Martin may claim that he's younger than me, but at the end of the day, he seems to be much older than me, apparently.
I see. More experienced, yes.
Enough raving about Martin's laptop. Let's get on with something called Linux. The legacy. Martin, why don't you give us an overview of where we come from?
We, as in you and I, or the
podcast?
The podcast.
Right. The podcast.
Right. The podcast was something that you suggested as being what shall we call it, a supporter, a fan of podcasts, I guess. Something that you enjoy listening to. And so you introduced podcasts to me and some, mainly Floss Weekly, I think.
Can you remember the particular circumstances?
It was probably some work-related, uninteresting activity that caused for some diversion.
Martin is almost right.
Okay. There we go.
Prague rings bell?
No. This is a year before that you mentioned podcast to me.
Well, we discussed in Prague the kind of seriousness, is that the word I'm looking for, about this whole endeavor, let's put it this way.
Ah, this is when you bought all the beer, isn't it?
Well, among other things, yes.
Yes, indeed. Ah, yes, now I remember.
Full disclosure, Martin and myself, went to a bar in Prague in November time frame. November, was it? Yeah, it was in November. Underground place, craft beer. I picked it, I think, and then basically this podcast was more or less
very,
boring.
Very hot chicken wings, yes.
Very much so, yeah. Apparently the place with the hottest chicken wings in Prague, if not the planet. Martin almost cried when he tasted one of mine and said he can't eat this stuff. Which was okay.
I'm not into those kind of rituals myself. But do continue.
Yes. And needless to say, we at that stage, we needed a name.
The name came and later.
But the foundation was laid then and there.
Yes.
So, Martin, why don't you enlighten us about the choosing of the name?
Okay. I have a recollection of it. Let's see if it corresponds to yours.
By all means.
Okay, so obviously Linux Outlaws being the famous podcast that we were both fans of, specifically because of their opening tune, which is from Chris.
Germando, because it's license free? No, it's not. Actually, they violated the license, didn't they? Because it's not CC BY or something, as in Creative Commons.
Yeah, but it's
from some movie, right?
You don't know the movie.
Well, I'm not a movie aficionado like you are, Martin, so why don't you like me or us?
Okay, so this is obviously. For those of you who watch are of a similar age to ourselves, most of you will have seen this movie. And it is actually probably one of the most famous movies in the world, I would imagine.
Is it?
I don't know. We could probably do a poll during a podcast, but I would imagine that 80% of our listeners would have heard of this movie or seen it at least. Yeah.
Called?
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, that one.
Oh, you know it.
The title rings a bell. I don't remember. See, maybe I saw it at some stage. I don't know. Okay. This is with not John Cleese, but John. No, it's not, you know, the artist escaped me. Something similar. John, I'm
not sure that John Cleese would like to be compared to Clint Eastwood. But
no, but there was somebody. But there was another actor with a similar name. No.
John Cleese is a British actor, and this is an American movie.
So far, I'm with you.
Starring
yes.
Clint Eastwood.
And
some Mexicans.
Yes.
Which I don't know the names, to be fair.
Let's use the what's it called again? This video distribution network for cat videos
IMDb.
Called the the internet. Yes, yes. And the name that I was looking for is actually Lee Van Cleef. There you go.
Yes. Sorry. Okay. Which is obviously very related to John Cleese, also. Yes. The resemblance is uncanny.
Yeah, and there's another guy called Eddie Wallach, which is peculiar because Wallach is a castrated horse in German.
Oh, there you go.
Very funny.
Every day. Why do you have a name?
Okay. I do not know.
Okay.
I just have to speak German. That's about
Wallachs
it.
In the fields. It's like, what is this? Why would you come up with a word for this? Okay.
You asked the guy who, or the gal who invented German. Mm. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that there is somebody who invented the language. But you must have a similar word in Dutch, no?
For castrated horse. No.
Yes. As a male castrated horse.
No.
Okay.
No, unless
my
sure? Dutch is.
Do you speak Dutch? Oh, occasionally.
Why would I speak Dutch, Chris?
Because you are from Holland?
Actually, I'm from the Netherlands, but hey.
Sorry. Sorry, my mistake. Yes, people, there is apparently still a difference between Holland and the Netherlands, as Martin has just
easily
corrected me.
Mistake to make, because even when we encourage our local football team, we say Hup Holland and not Hup the Netherlands. But there we go. That's fine. Where were we anyway? Remind me.
You wanted to talk about the legacy.
Yes. Okay.
And where
the name
comes
from. Yes, that was it. Thank you.
Yes, of course.
Yes. So the name. Yes. Okay. So the name's for Linux Outlaws or In-Laws? I don't know where the name for Linux Outlaws come from. You'll have to ask them. Presumably they were a fan of the movie also.
Okay. Apparently, if you take a close look at the movie, that movie is about outlaws.
Yeah.
So the music is fitting to some extent.
Okay. And okay.
I think the music came later, and the idea of having a podcast that plays along the themes of outlaws came first. Maybe we should shed more light on the outlaws before we go kind of what the in-laws are.
Yes.
Okay, guys. For those of you who don't know, Linux Outlaws was a podcast that started in 2007, if I'm completely mistaken. It went on to 2014, 2016.
What's wrong with 2007?
Nothing.
Why would you call it 2007? Why? Who does that?
Because.
Why? <do. laughs>
It's just a case.
Okay.
Is there something wrong with that?
I would say so, but hey, let's not go there.
Are you from the International Standardization Organization, I wonder?
Well, you
are you an ISO member secretly? Please reveal that fact
there
now.
There is a way to pronounce a year, right? And it's not generally called 2007.
It is.
No. Again, I think this is another poll we need to distribute amongst our readers. the preview wrong
okay.
yet again.
We just found out that Mr. Visser is secretly funded by the ISO. Not a fact that apparently many people know, but you heard it here first.
You like to get things correct, right? And
so in 2007, a podcast by the name of Linux Outlaws was started by two people, namely Dan Lynch and Fabian Scherschel. Fun fact, Fabian is still a German, if I'm not completely mistaken. And Dan Lynch is of Liverpool fame. And if I recall correctly, they, in contrast to the in-laws, they never met in person before they started the podcast. They met in online. I think it was Luck Radio or something like this.
Okay.
And then they decided to do something like a Linux podcast or free and open source podcast around the Outlaw theme. And this is how the theme music came along, and also the format, because the way they did it, or most of the episodes, especially the later episodes, are around what happened during a week or during a fortnight or during a month, and then a discussion around these news items. Somewhat comparable to the way the in-laws do it, but in contrast to the in-laws, as in us, they kept to this format pretty much for the later duration of the podcast, i.e., Dan would pick up a news item and then they would discuss the consequences, as we did at the very beginning of this podcast, when we discussed HTTP versus HTTPS in an upcoming Mozilla release or Firefox release. whereas the in-laws do a little bit more than just discussing news items.
Mm. And what's the reason for that, do you think?
Good question. Martin put me on the spot. Because we are more comprehensive than the outlaws.
Good answer. Yes.
And I think we still have to find our spot to some extent.
Yeah, I think so. just discussing news is not, you know, it's informative and...
So, while we're on the subject, fun, Martin, what is... Yeah. What is your opinion where we should take this podcast of ours called The Linux In-Laws?
Okay, well,
apart from slagging off people who buy NVIDIA crap.
It's too easy, isn't it? Yeah.
No, it's not, but it's justified. But that's a different story.
Well, it's okay. So if, I mean, this is partly up to what our listeners like and do not like. All three of you, and so that should at least provide us a majority of votes. But if we think about ourselves, what we like in podcasts, that's probably, you know, the main thing about this is to enjoy ourselves, give some useful information, and entertain our audience. No, that is the objective. It doesn't have to be entirely factually based, but can be more free flowing and more of a, like the upcoming sketches, right? These are,
I see.
Or have I given too much away now?
No, you have not. Teaser, there will be a fictional, I might add, sketch later on as part of the trailer of this episode, so stay tuned. And this is actually one of the few differences. Yes, we do like to add some sort of humor to the whole thing, because open source is great, news are great, by all means, but especially given the current circumstances, beer, viruses ruling the world and all the rest of it, I think what is much needed is some laughter, because that releases pain. Because that releases stress, it alleviates pain, and it is much more things to improve the current and future and past situations, but future ones anyway. So this is what you will see.
Yes, you did mention your flux capacitor was broken, didn't you? Yes, this is why we can't improve the past situation. Yes, sorry, carry on.
Correct, yes. Thank you very much for adding this, Martin. Yes, my flux capacitor is broken. So if there's somebody out there...
It would come in really handy if it could be fixed right now.
Yes, indeed. Who can give me a hand here to, in order to get this working again? By all means, please reach out to feedback@linuxinlaws.eu. And before we go on to the legacy further, let's hear a little bit of a soundbite from the 100th episode, where actually Dan and Fabian are in a car going to something called Linux Tag in Berlin, but doing a podcast on the way. So the next hour, I'm only kidding, the soundbite won't be an hour, but let's listen to some excerpts so that you know what they talk about. So see you back in a few minutes.
Hey everybody, welcome to Linux Outlaws episode 100. Very special episode. We're recording from a car doing 130 kilometers per hour in the moment. We thought we'd, beat Dave Yates at his own game, and Chad Bollenberg is doing that as well. Yeah, special 100th episode. I'm Fab, as always.
Hello everyone, I'm Dan. Yeah, this is, we're on live from the Autobahn.
A2.
A2, apparently, I'm reliably informed. Yeah, I've just seen a sign, A2. Yeah, we had a special intro as well. That was a special classical guitar version of our theme tune by John Culp from Lafayette, did you say? Louisiana, yeah. Which is amazing. He's even done like a full musical score. So if anyone amongst you, can read music, I'm useless at reading music these days. But you could get the music and learn to play it on a whatever, piano or something. Could be interesting. Yeah, so you probably hear a bit of background noise because, as Fab said, we're in a car, so I'm kind of holding the microphone and passing it across and trying not to hit him in the face while he drives, but get it close enough so he can still talk into it. We haven't quite worked that out. So we're trying to outdo Dave Yates. We also talked about editing the show in the car as well, so we could say that we've outdone Dave Yates. That would be good. So, yeah, this is going to be a bit different because we're not actually going to talk about computers and, well, maybe computers, but not about Linux specifically. We've got you can hear some waffling paper. We've got a list of questions that people sent to us on Twitter and Identica. We had a few responses. A lot of people posting, loads of questions. The same people posting loads of questions. So thanks to them. Should we start off with the first one then? You ready? Okay. This one's from Don Henry. It says, what is a good size for a snack cake? I don't know. Do you want to take that one?
I'd say as big as you can possibly make it. Well, it's still, fitting in your mouth. You have to eat it with one bite. I think that would be a good idea. We were talking about this. And this is, of course, assuming that you can have more than one. Yeah. If you can only have one, it has to be bigger, definitely. But, that's what I would say.
He didn't specify whether you could have more than one or not. It just says what is a good size for a snack cake. I don't know. I'll agree with that. I've never really thought about it. So, and he says, what's the sound of one Linux Outlaw clapping? I can't really do it with the mic. Hang on. I'll put the mic down for a second.
There you go.
That was it. That's what it sounds like. If you can hear it over the traffic noise. What else has he got? If you could be any major appliance, which one would you be and why? And he's put a stipulation, anything bigger than a can opener. So, what do you reckon?
This is terrible because I would have said some kind of sex toy.
Yeah.
That, it's going to be bigger than a can opener. I don't know. I don't know. Probably a fridge. Something you can keep beer cold in.
A fridge?
Okay, now that we are back. Martin, so what do you think about the whole thing?
The whole thing being, sorry.
The
oh,
clip
the clip,
that we
sorry,
just
the clip.
To.
Yes, yes. Well, this it's for me. It was a bit of a memory thing, right? It's like two guys driving along the German Autobahn. Obviously, being of Dutch origin, I have driven along the German Autobahn on numerous occasions, and having a discussion along the way with a good friend is something that's very pleasant. That was my initial kind of comment on that.
Should we do this too, I wonder? Getting in a car and then recording an episode while we're driving?
You have a car?
I do.
Okay, I thought you were a public transport addict. No, not addict.
You can die in these things these days, I'm led to believe.
Public transport?
Yes.
Well, you can.
Well, you don't die in the Department of Transport, but you pick up things there that you can die from later on. Hmm.
Well, let's not discuss that topic. In theory, you can die of anything, right? So that's not.
Well, imagine a truck runs over a train, then exactly. You're dead too.
Yeah, that's indeed. Yes. No, that sounds like a good plan. Yes. How is your what do you call that resistance to car sickness?
Never had.
Okay,
it.
Good to hear. In that case, I'm dry.
Why?
Well, I volunteer for the driving in that case.
Okay, in that case, I'm going to take my chances on public transport.
Okay, so do we actually? Is the Linux target still going ahead? As...
No.
Why not? What happened?
Because the Linux tag, I think, died around 2011, 2010, something like this. Sorry, 2010, 2011. For the ISO people among us. Okay, no, Linux tag went on for, I think, at least 10, 15 years before it died an awful death due to funding situations, a certain level of discussion in the organizing committee and all the rest of it. You see the legacy all over the place. For example, the Linux Presentation Day originated as in the idea that each and every LUG as a Linux user group locally take one day in a year or 2 days in a given year and present Linux and the surrounding open source ecosystem to the greater public. That actually originated from the legacy of the Linux Tag. The Linux Tag essentially was one of the biggest German community events comparable to Chemnitz and Linux Tage, to FrostCon, to Open Rhein-Ruhr when it was still around, that sort of thing.
Okay.
This is basically where the German free and open source movement originally came from. But as I said, I think they abandoned this format in 2011, 2010, something like this, maybe later. But this is, I think that was one of the first times when actually Fabian and Dan actually met in person. Going from Hanover, where I think Fabian was living at the time, to Berlin.
Okay. So how did they, just sort of a slightly different topic, how did they record their podcast before that?
There was a famous episode 19, which I've never managed to dig up, where they talk about this apparently. Similar, I think, to us, they record separately and then mix it up as part of the post-production process. If a listener has this episode somewhere on his server, please do us a favor and send this to us, because we're interested in how Linux Outlaws did it originally. The reason being quite straightforward, because for the last 6 months, so it feels anyway, we're struggling with audio problems left, right, and center. Martin has just discovered, actually, if you
big breakthrough moments,
a MacBook Pro, if you unplug a MacBook Pro from its power supply, it actually changes the characteristics of audio recording. Maybe it's down to the fact that it's running an ancient version of OS X called El Capitan, but it's really strange. I had to replace my headset because it was giving crosstalks on the recordings. It's just amazing. In previous times, I wouldn't believe if anyone would tell me, audio on Linux can be a bitch, but now I'm fully subscribed because yes, we have first hand experience here.
Many audio on Linux of great experience.
Yes, especially in a distributed fashion, setting up a working podcasting environment on Linux is not without challenges. Let's put it this way.
Agreed entirely. So, did we actually explain the name so far?
No, we haven't. Why don't you do us? Why don't you do the honor, Martin?
Okay.
Where do the in-laws come from?
Right. So obviously, the show is based on the Outlaws, and we are slightly less outside of the law than the Outlaws, we thought. Combined with the fact that, in a way, you know the term about in-laws, right, and how they are described, usually refer to the mother-in-law as a, let's say, unfriendly person.
Martin, fun fact, I've never been married, so please enlighten me.
You never been married? What happened?
No.
Is that a... Is
life. Life happened, Martin. Life. This may be a concept you may be somewhat familiar with.
Oh, just thinking. Shall we demonstrate the power supply to the listeners or not? Could just...
If you want to go ahead, by all means, be my guest.
We could plug it in and demonstrate, but that's...
Maybe for the purpose of this exercise, we won't.
Yes, indeed.
But do explain this in-laws concept to me.
Well, so... Okay. Right. When you marry someone else, then they generally have parents. Well, they would have parents, but for whatever reason, they may no longer be around as parents. But generally, those parents are around, right? Because you tend to marry when you are in your younger days. Most people when they go beyond, let's say, 30 or 40, don't bother to marry anymore. It's usually the youngsters, right? They think that marriage is a great thing. Again, a topic of a completely other episode. Anyway, so you get married, you get this comes with an in-law package, right? Meaning the parents of your beloved new wife, husband, whichever way inclined. And these in-laws generally have a opinion of their own about how you should be looking after their beloved daughter, son, etc. So generally seen as a somewhat interfering party in the whole proceeding. Make sense?
Interesting perspective, because to me that sounds like you haven't paid enough moolah when you took over their beloved offspring. Because if you would have paid them enough money, they probably would have stayed out of the
I thought the
inner mechanics of the marriage.
The custom was to get paid to get rid of a daughter. Yeah? Isn't it that way around?
You tell me.
Anyway, there are exceptions to this rule. Inception in case my father-in-law, who is a very helpful and an uninterfering person, so... There are some exceptions to this, but the general accepted opinion of in-laws is that they are interfering and not beneficial, let's put it that way.
So you're in the lucky position, basically, that your in-laws are quite different.
Yes, I only have one in-law remaining, but...
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes, so he is quite old, and we built him a house in the garden, so he is actually quite a close in-law, but not living with us, which is quite nice, but also...
Okay.
A good arrangement, but it's yeah. So as an in-law go, he is very good. He not anymore, but he used to do things like fixing things around the house and painting and all kind of useful stuff that he would normally prevent you from doing your open source research.
Excellent.
And playing with NVIDIA video cards.
Right. And this is the reason, and this is the role model that you had in mind when you suggested we should call this podcast Linux In-Laws. Interesting.
Did you not have a say in the matter?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
Why should I have a say in the matter, about you decide everything anyway, anyhow? Not a big deal. I'm just a techie, right? Remember?
Well, I'm actually wearing my t-shirt now. Let's just assume I'm always right, which saves us a lot of time, right?
But you didn't borrow this from your wife, did you?
No, I didn't. This was a gift from a dear friend. Yes.
Mrs. Visser, if you're listening, this is just funny, right? This is just humor. This is not meant to be serious, by no means.
I'm sure you'll get a meter one day, aren't you?
I'm looking forward to it. Okay, shall we play another soundbite from a previous episode of The Outlaws? Just to close this off.
Oh, does that mean we
okay,
also
guys.
Get to, sorry, does that mean we get to play that theme tune if it's part of their recording?
Unfortunately, we can't because it's not.
But if it's part of their licensed. Recording, it's.
Yeah, but still, this is yeah. Of course, their content is under Creative Commons attribution, Ooh. But their theme music isn't.
Ah, I see.
We might be tempted, Martin, to do this, but it'll be just another surface of attack for everybody, for somebody who wants to get after us in that case. So I'd rather not. So what you will hear now is actually, I think it's episode 70, just basically to give you another kind of impression of the great legacy Linux In-Laws had in mind when this podcast was formed. So just to close this off before we go into the picks, here's another soundbite from episode 70, and actually this is basically where they describe how they met.
So then we had big event this year for both of us was Lug Radio Live.
That was
first
great
time
fun.
We actually met in person, which was a lot of fun. You came over here and with Katie, and you know we had a lot of friends over, and
cool.
Yeah, and everyone kind of travelled down with us. Our entourage, as Bo P called it.
That was pretty mad.
Yeah, we had a crew with us.
I'm looking forward to that this year. We have to do that again.
Yeah, in the next year that would be cool.
We have to publicize that, otherwise, you know, like Radio not being around.
Yeah, well, I've offered. I'm sure we'll manage that. I spoke to Adam about that, and he seemed quite keen on, you know, spreading the word, getting us to help promote next year. Cool. So that should be cool. Yeah, a great event. A great weekend. We sang badly. We ran round enjoying the show, didn't we? We talked to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did a lot of interviews.
Forgot their names, like, 10 seconds.
It's hard, though. I mean, it's really hard when you stood there and, like, you know, there's 200 people walking past constantly going, hi, I'm whoever. And, you really want to remember every single person's name, but, you know, when you're suddenly, like, introduced to 200 people in one go, it's kind of difficult to, you know, to keep up.
It was really weird as well. Like, on the first day, I was still a bit, like, drunk from the night before. We did the mistake.
God,
we partied, like, three nights before we went down there, so not enough sleep, too much alcohol. That wasn't good.
Do you know what was really funny? I remember on the Sunday as well. I didn't get out of bed till about 11 or 12 on the Sunday, and it had already been opened again from 10, and we like rolled up at 12 or whenever it was, and and the guys on the Neuros OSD table next to us were just like looking at me and groaning, going, oh, nice to see you here nice and early.
Okay. So after this suitable second clip, let's go into the picks, Martin. What is your pick of the week?
Oh, the pick, sorry. You said this beforehand, and I couldn't quite work out what pictures you were referring to. But
what do you think is worth mentioning, apart from beer brands?
No. Personally, I have discovered another source of podcasts, which I not previously listen to. These are not Linux related podcasts, but they are still very entertaining and insightful for, you know, not just technical reasons, right? There's always things to learn, whether they are open source related or not. But latest one I listened to was the moon landing one on the BBC, which is it's very much worth a listen in my opinion. But
Do you have more details, like the name, maybe a website, a URL that we can put into the show notes or something?
Oh, yes, of course we can. Yes. I wish.
And the subjects would be what? I'm curious.
Okay, so, all right, sorry. Yes, you're not familiar with this one. Okay, so it's
no,
okay.
I'm not.
No, this is a...
you see, Martin, this is outside the free and open source software world, so why should I even know about it?
Right. You must have other sources of news that you follow? No.
Do I?
I don't
know.
You tell me.
No.
What other news do you consume, Chris?
I tend not to, because it's all just crap. It's people talking about some sort of virus these days, yes. And the implications, and it's rather saddening. Let's put it this way.
Anyway, this is not news, right? It is a historical podcast, but it's a podcast about something that happened in the past. Me being the first moon landing, and the title of it is "The 13 Minutes to the Moon," which yes.
Is that the one basically that was done in this basement in Hollywood?
No, this is a BBC one.
No, not the podcast, but the moon landing.
I see. You mean the waving flags on the moon where there's no wind?
That's what I'm referring to. That's actually a movie made about this.
Probably, yeah.
I think.
Oh, I don't know this. The podcast is far more entertaining than the movie, I'm sure.
Okay. And the podcast essentially describes that basement thing. Okay, fair enough.
Anyway, those of you who don't conscribe to the conspiracy theories, feel free to listen to this. Or even if you do, listen to it and draw your own conclusions. But it's not about whether it happened or not, right? It's more about the facts and the people and the history around that era where, there was still the global race going on between the then USSR and the US. And funnily enough, it almost didn't happen, as in the American space program. Because...
Okay. Why? Funding?
Not funding, but originally Kennedy had a completely different idea of how to beat the Russians at something very important that wasn't related to space, because they were behind, right? And so he came up he didn't come up with it himself, but he had advisors and things like that. But anyway, going back to the podcast, it is like a, I think it's 8 parts, something like that, 7 or 8. But the final session is really where you get to listen to the final 13 minutes where they have all the communications and do the actual landing. And leading up to that final episode is the explanation of how it all came to that and the people involved and obviously the computer programs at those times and so on. So it's well worth a listen, even if you're skeptical about its happening.
Okay, interesting. Okay, must do this. And of course, you'll find the details, including the website, in the show notes. Okay, my pick of the week. It's actually a TV documentary called The Sarah Connor Chronicles. For most of you probably would be familiar with another documentary called Terminator 1, 2, and 3, and 4. And the Sarah Connor Chronicle actually tells us about what happened in between. What is particularly interesting, and this documentary was done about 10 years ago, it runs for 2 seasons with, I think, 9 and 22 episodes each. It tells us about how this Skynet thing came into existence that shaped our world just before the beer viruses. For those of you who are not subscribing to any what's the word I'm looking for, tinfoil hat theories, it's still worth giving a shot because, as I said, it's a documentary about how this whole thing came into existence and also some of the consequences that develop from it, let's put it this way. Show notes will contain the details available, I think, in your online streaming service of choice, even at a reduced resolution, because Netflix and apparently the like wants to keep the Cat Video Network free for much more important stuff like working from home and doing important telephone conferences. What am I missing here, Martin? Did I forget anything?
You didn't mention why you like this program.
Oh yeah, sorry. It's pretty much like yeah, like your podcast. It's about the history, basically. Why, how Skynet came into existence and why eventually John Connor couldn't prevent this.
And being entirely more realistic than the moon landing, I see.
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent. Sounds like it's well worth a watch.
Okay, I think we're almost done for today, as usual, listeners.
No, it's not usual. We appreciate feedback. We haven't done it.
Hang on. Of course, two more segments. Of course, feedback, of course, ultimately the sketch. But the sketch comes at the very end, so many. I think we should go into the feedback right now.
Okay.
I would like to reach out to Luna, who sent us mail and said, seems nice so far, but only listened to 12 minutes. But then this email is about, 20 days old. Yes, there has been a little delay about us doing podcasts due to various, let's put it this way, audio challenges. Yes. Luna, we do appreciate your feedback. Keep up the good work. And yes, Debian is the distro of choice, my opinion. And there was another guy called Richard Batten. You want to do this or should I do this?
You do it because I haven't got it open for me.
Ah, okay. Richard Batten, sent in emails, one email actually, that he can't find us on overcast.fm. Yes.
I remember.
Overcast scrapes other RSS feeds, and the reason why we're not on Overcast is they haven't scraped Hacker Public Radio yet. Not too sure how you came across us, Richard. Please reach out to us. For the time being, as before, we are only available on Hacker Public Radio. For the time being, no, we won't syndicate the show, even not on our servers. So the place where you will find Linux In-Laws for the time being, and you will be notified once this changes, is hackerpublicradio.org. Your go-to resource for quality podcasts. Okay, now the sketch, and then we are almost done. The one with Leo and the command line. This is Darkside Tech Support. How may I help you?
This is Leo from the Irish government. I have a problem.
Jirich Taoiseach, Malerilat, Conasatu.
What?
Sorry, I almost forgot that they don't speak Irish down in Dublin 20. Never mind, Trinity. What can I do for you?
I have a bother with the recent election.
What seems to be the problem?
I lost it.
Sorry to hear this. What is your recollection of seeing it last? Home? Car? Government buildings, perhaps? Or party headquarters?
No. Sorry, misunderstanding. We didn't win it. The election. The Fianna Fáil suckers did. Almost.
I see. Have you tried turning it on and off again?
What?
I see. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
What? The election?
No, the voting public. Sometimes a hard reset can work wonders.
I tried this already. It didn't work.
Let's take a closer look then. Are you in front of a government computer?
That can be arranged. Bear with me a second. Turned on, ready to go.
Can you log in?
Done. What should I do next?
Open a terminal and type the following commands.
Open what? Dublin Airport has two terminals already. Why open another one? Do you think the uptake in air traffic justifies this?
A terminal is a command line interface allowing you to control the system on an administrative level. There should be a small computer screen with a keyboard underneath it on the desktop. Click on that.
Done.
Good. First, let's check out the operating system version. Type uname and tell me what it says.
Uname? You haven't even introduced yourself, man. And why should I type this name?
Sorry, Leo. Please type U-N-A-M-E and read back the characters on the screen to me.
It says Ireland, minor democracy, two-party system with interesting and somewhat bloody history. interesting future ahead due to a major neighbor failing politically and economically.
Yep, that seems to be an updated version of it. So let's get cracking of what happened at that election. Please enter systemd-analyze-election-blame and tell me what it says. And that's two dashes in front of the election parameter.
5% gender issues, 95% lack of incentives.
Interesting. Let's tackle the gender issue first. What does locate minus M LGBT pipe, and that's a vertical bar, F grep minus E TLC pipe F grep cron say? Cron is C-R-O-N.
C-R-O-N, okay. There's only one line of output, slash ETC slash CRON dot monthly slash TLC underscore LGGGBT underscore community. What does LGTBGDG mean?
Lesbian, gay, bi, and transgender. Do I have to explain everything, Taoiseach? But I see the problem right there. If you only pamper the queers once a month with tender love and care, how do you expect them to support you? By the way, how's Matthew? Let's move this to at least daily. Please type mv space forward slash etc forward slash cron dot monthly forward slash tlc underscore lgbt underscore community space forward slash etc forward slash cron minus daily.
So is permission denied?
Are you rude?
Can you hear me talking? I sure do have a voice.
Rude, Taoiseach, rude, not mute. Try typing sudo bash, enter your password and tell me what it says.
It says, in addition to being the supreme leader of a small island, you are now an administrator on this machine.
Good. Now please repeat moving the TLC underscore LGBT underscore community to forward slash etc forward slash cron.daily.
Done. This time it worked.
The wonders of administrative rights. Now let's tackle the incentive issue. First of all, let's see if the correct software has been installed. What does apt space list minus minus installed pipe symbol F grep electorate say?
Irish dash electorate.
Good. What does F grep bribe space forward slash etc forward slash Irish dot electorate dot conf say?
Nothing. It didn't print anything at all.
What? That doesn't sound right. Are you sure that this is a government computer? Okay, I think I know what the problem is. Type PC Linux and tell me what it says.
Politically correct Linux status, colon, enforcing.
That's what I thought. Just curious. Who was the previous owner of this machine?
How do I find out?
Type who am I space minus last.
It says Mary Robinson, former president.
I see the problem right here. Anyway, let's fix this PC issue first. Type PC space minus disable.
Done. What's next?
Let's try this again. What does fgrep bribe forward slash etc forward slash irish.electorate.conf say now?
Bribe equals 1.5m. Hash, this parameter is called tax-break in the PC version.
We are getting somewhere. Now type dpkg minus reconfigure space irish minus electorate.
It says package corrupt.
No surprises there. What does dpkg minus reconfigure minus vv space irish minus electorate double v say?
Package corrupted, but not corrupted enough.
Okay, we have to do this manually. Start an editor and correct the configuration file.
Editor of the times or the endo? And what does start mean? I know both of them quite well, and these relationships don't need starting. As long as Matthew doesn't find out.
Apparently still a long way to go. Type vim space forward slash etc forward slash irish.electorate.conf and press the cursor down key until you get to the line starting with bribe. Now change that figure from 1.5 to 150 by pressing capital R and overwriting the value. Save the file with escape colon x enter and you should be good to go.
That's the next election done. Cool.
Anything else I can do for you today, Taoiseach?
As a matter of fact, there is. How can I get rid of these Fennefall suckers?
Not an easy feat, but this can be done by reconfiguring Irish history. First of all, let's make sure that the correct package is installed. What does apt space list minus installed pipe fgrep history say?
History, comma, English dash history and Irish history.
Good. Let's reconfigure it as before.
Excellent. Typing dpkg-reconfigure history now.
Whoa, easy big fella. You don't want to reconfigure the global history, just the Irish one. So just do a dpkg-reconfigure Irish-history.
Okay. A few pink screens with questions came up. Most of them seem pretty straightforward. Snakes, M for many, F for few, N for none, Y for none ultimately. Saints, F for few, M for many, I for insanely many. How many parties in the doll?
Doesn't sound too complicated.
Oh, it says delta too insignificant in order to justify reconfiguration. Task aborted.
How many parties did you enter?
9. Oh, old habits die hard.
Do this again, this time making it 2 max.
Done. Thanks for your help.
Anything else I can do for you?
No thanks. I'll buzz again if I need further support.
15 minutes later. This is Darkside Tech Support. How may I help you?
It's Leo again. I think I made a mistake.
What happened?
After the successful reconfiguration of Irish history, I got ahead of myself and said to myself, heck, why not give English history a try as well? And so I did.
And?
The reconfiguration screens asked a lot more questions. Among them, quite silly ones, like eventual type of rulership, tyranny, self-inflicted, tyranny, Brussels imposed, democracy or constitutional monarchy, permitted level of royal inbreeding, and dragons, Welsh dragon, Nessie, Sussex knocker, or Margaret Thatcher.
Say the last one again.
Dragons, Welsh dragon, Nessie, Sussex knocker, Margaret Thatcher. As Ireland wasn't exactly pleased with the last one, I omitted her from the list of dragons.
You did what?
The cow had done enough damage already, so I decided not to make her part of this again.
Do you realize what you did? By removing old Maggie from the lines of dragons, you essentially turned her into an ordinary human being instead of the mythical creature, half-human, half-dragon, she once was. This must have had serious implications on the overall timeline.
Well, there was a message asking for confirmation. Omitting Margaret Thatcher from the set of past and current English dragons may cause a comprehensive alteration of the timeline and trigger the reconfiguration of neighboring countries. Enter yes to confirm.
And the warning, and trigger the reconfiguration of neighboring countries, didn't ring a bell.
The reconfiguration took quite some time and printed a lot of text. I recall seeing messages, setting up dependency, Irish history, removing Fine Gael and Fine Gael from the list of configured parties, promoting Sinn Féin to leading party.
Congratulations, Leo. Excellent job. Well done. Not only did you manage to put a splinter group funded by New York City drug money into power, but also reconfigured yourself out of a job. All with one command. That's a first.
I also recall seeing a message like promoting Michael Collins' granddaughter to Mayor of Dublin.
What? Michael Collins got killed during the Civil War of 1922 and never had children, never mind grandchildren. The damage is bigger than I thought.
And the last one I read, removing Irish border.
All hope is lost, Leo. If there isn't an Irish border anymore, there might not be an Ireland at anybody's disposal. Flee while you can. I hope you liked the sketch.
Yes.
Any final remarks, Martin, before we close the show off?
Yeah. So again, on the feedback side, also please do feedback on the sketch, specifically on the magnificent Irish accent, of course, and more sketches will follow shortly.
Yes. Without disclosing too much, there are further sketches in the making. And needless to say, if you have any ideas about sketches, topics you want to be covered, you want to have covered on the show, or any other ideas that you have for the show, send these to feedback@linuxinlaws.eu. You'll find the show notes and other information as usual on linuxinlaws.eu. And of course, there will be show notes also on Hacker Public Radio, including a link to our website.
Yeah, and in the feedback, if you have questions on any audio issues, any video cards running Linux, etc. Likewise, Chris is your man.
Martin will be more than happy to answer any NVIDIA related questions for the next 2 years while he's struggling with getting his system to work. Yes. Looking forward to having you around for the next episode. Indeed. This episode is brought to you by TP Premium. Once a mere commodity, this brand of fine toilet tissue has now become a premier investment vehicle of global scale. Thousands have already made a fortune by buying their rolls when these were still modestly expensive and selling them only a few weeks later at a nice profit. Buy your rolls today while you still can. Afforded, that is, of course, because leading analysts are confident that gold will soon be cheaper than TP Premium. TP Premium, once crap, now gold.
This podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution. Credits for the intro music go to Bluesy Roosters for their song Salute Morgoth and to Twin Flames for their piece called The Flow. You find these and other ditties licensed under Creative Commons Agemendo, a website dedicated to liberate the music industry from choking copyright legislation and other crap concepts.
This is Leo from the Irish government. I have a problem.
Gerich Taoiseach, my lair lot, Conestatu.
Hang on a minute, sorry. I thought there was more than that. Oh, no, that's just the pronunciation, is it? Okay, sorry. Okay, right. The reconfiguration screens asked a lot more questions, among them quite silly ones, like eventual type of rulership, tyranny self-inflicted, Tyranny Brussels imposed, democracy or constitutional monarchy, and permitted level of inbreeding, and dragons, Welsh dragon, Nessie, Sussex Knocker, or Margaret Thatcher.
Taoiseach, by the way, this is permitted level of royal inbreeding. Could you please repeat that?
What?
Martin, without the royal, it doesn't make sense.
What did I say?
Did I? You missed out the royal.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I thought, where's okay. That in the script?
One for the bin. Let's start again. Leo. Okay, let's start again with Leo.
Right. Okay.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.